Friday, August 5, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. A very good morning to you. If you're just tuning in, we've got Blocker, the great Steve Roach, and Adam Pengilly, our regular from the Herald, joining us as co-hosts this morning with, Loz has just got a funeral, unfortunately, in his home deck of Junee today, and Clarkey is sunning himself over on the other side of
When's
the world.
When's Clarkey coming home?
He's got another week, Block. So he's Monday week away.
Who gets a month
day.
Off mid-season?
Well, bloke who's played 115 tests for Australia, captain the side.
How many one days?
Yeah, plenty.
Plenty.
Do we still know where he's gone yet? Like, he's just gone to those most exotic locations, and he just, it's like a secret squirrel business.
I think he's been pretty keen to try and keep that under wraps.
Yeah, Adam, I just like the way that he's just brushed us. Like, we mean nothing to him.
Yeah.
Well, he hasn't even, like, sent a photo or anything.
It's amazing the Tigers' form's turned around once he's been away.
Although he did miss the controversial end of the Cowboys game. That happened. Well,
he would have been good listening to Monday
two nights head, before he left. He left on the Friday, and that happened the Sunday night. just some results around. Well, last night, 34-16, the Roosters over the Brisbane Broncos at the SCG. On the text line, John from Wingham pointing out, morning all, well done to Matthew Denny for having just won gold at the Comm Games in the men's discus throw. Toowoomba will be proud. As a kid, he was a pretty handy rugby league player, apparently. Thanks for pointing that out, John from Wingham. Is Jamie Swim still penciled in for Saturday? I believe so. JR, our time tomorrow, about 1 p.m. our time tomorrow. So
what happens with conditions? What if they're bad? Does she still just jump in and go?
I think that's why she's waiting till tomorrow. Apparently conditions are good. I think she does have to, you know, you're waiting for weather windows to appear.
What if it changes when you're mid-swim?
Unlucky rubber ducky.
You just got to tough it out.
Yeah.
And she can't touch the boat. Did she say she can't literally put a finger on the boat?
I think that's right, yeah.
Otherwise, what is it? You get disqualified. Oh, well. It's not counted as official or something.
No, I suppose. Mm.
Who knows if you do it? You got your own crew with you, haven't you?
What are you saying? Hey? There's a rod on.
What? It's only a rod if you're not in it.
I'll tell you what, though. What is a rod? These people thinking they're potato cakes. What about the text messages we've received on this?
Hasn't stopped.
So Ali Mosley, who joined us just before, she's a potato cake person. She's a Victorian, though. She's got a supporter here. G'day all, love the show. Keep up the good work. I'm sorry to say, but it is potato cake. So I'm on Ali's side. Go Ali. Potato cake every day of the week. Those of you in New South Wales area that call them potato scallops may have two heads. Not sure. Lol, keep up the good work. Rusty Bunny sending that one in.
That's a bit harsh calling us two heads. We think it's called scallops.
Gents, it's simple. If your listeners insist on calling the potato cakes, get rid of them. Ban them. Rocky from Crezzo.
Good on you, Rocky.
Morning, guys. I was in the Riverina on a family function many years ago. We went to the local milk bar and ordered a heap of fish, chips and scallops. When we got the bill, nearly had to take out a loan to pay for it. The scallops were the seafood type. Lesson learnt: when you get near Mexico, order potatoes. No name to that one. Oh, I love it, but plenty more there as well. 0419 767 272. We've got the great Paul Sirinen joining us shortly, and Blocker, yourself and Ciro have a trip courtesy of Gulliver's Travels along with Alfie to the Rugby League World Cup later this year.
And it's filling up fast too, I might add. So if you want to go.
What's the itinerary, Block? What's the itinerary like for that?
Itinerary,
I shudder to ask, actually.
No, well, we're going to France to start. We're going to go to the battlefields. It is tough, but someone's got to do it. Mate, it's a very hard job hosting a busload of people. All sorts of personalities you got to put. It's a bit like being a coach.
He's trying to say it with a straight face, Jared.
Oh, that's sickening, isn't it?
Have you ever been to Bath in England?
Yeah.
Have you ever been there? Did you like it? I love it.
Yeah, it's a great joint.
Yeah. I know. Really nice. Look, when they used to pour the oil over their enemies and all that sort of stuff, I was really intrigued by that. All the torture places.
Saddest. it's good seeing that stuff, though.
Is this a 6-week tour, Block, 7-week tour, or what is it?
We're only going for
semis in the final or something.
Yeah, they're like just a semi in the finals, mate. We don't go into the prelims. We just go straight to the grouse. You know?
So go hard and then go home, mate.
That's it. Yeah, go home. Well, I won't be going home because I'm going to skip over to Ireland to see my young bloke. So that'll be good. I've just got to rearrange a few flights and all that.
Okay.
My darling wife will do that because I'm absolutely hopeless.
Now, just before we get Ciro, the Sticky Wings Big Sports Breakfast Multi is a combination of your good selves this morning, two racing legs courtesy of Adam, footy leg courtesy of Blocker. Blocker got us a winner last Friday night, by the way,
and
in the Parramatta
before.
Game. Flying, winning record for him. So, Adam, you're up first. What do you got?
Yeah, race 5, number 2, Equation, Jared, to finish top 4 at Randwick. And then in the very next race, race 6, number 1, Mautai, to run a place. And I'm feeling the pressure because I'm going first. I've got to try and get us through to the footy in the afternoon.
Yep. Full house at Canberra. The Canberra Raiders to beat the depleted Penrith side. Full house. How good's that?
Just head-to-head.
Yep, head-to-head, mate. The Raiders.
Okay, so hopefully we're live going into that game. It's $9 on the Tab app, the Tab website under Sport and today's offers. Just click on Sport Offer. You'll find the Big Sports Breakfast best. And now Queensland Raceway comes alive on Stan Sport tomorrow with the Sights and Sounds of Speed Series, where Australia's best drivers will battle it out for supremacy. Bathurst 1000 winners Shane Van Gisbergen, David Reynolds and Garth Tander will star in the GT World Challenge Australia, featuring a star-studded lineup of high-performance cars. You can catch the massive 30-car field of muscle cars in Trans Am as Chevrolet, Ford and Dodge duel to decide who's the best of the V8 Brutes. Then see the headline act, the super cheap auto TCR Australia, where Tony D'Alberto fights to keep his title challenge on course with a pack of hungry drivers chasing him. And don't miss a second of it with all the action streaming ad-free, live and on-demand Stan Sport from 11 a.m. Eastern tomorrow. You can start your free trial today at stan.com.au/sport. Joining us now on the line is your great old teammate, Paul Sheridan, Balmain legend. Paul, good morning to you.
G'day, boys. Jeez, you can find a gig, Block.
Thank you. You know what, Paul, but, you know, I've been getting up early because of Clarky being on holidays. And you know me, mate. I love me sleeping. I need me beauty sleep. I probably don't get enough of it. But, you know, I'm happy just to be a fill-in, mate.
Oh.
The first thing I asked, too, the couple of weeks ago I was on is, who do I invoice?
Exactly. I'm trying to grey out at Penny.
Well, I'll tell you what, you can both find a gig with this trip coming up to the Rugby League World Cup later this year. I mean, seriously, who's the sensible one?
Paul.
Yeah. Out of Alfie, yourself and Paul, it would have to be Paul, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
Paul. I dare say, because Block does get a little bit fatigued in the afternoon, so I might be holding court with our punters, you know, in the afternoon. I dare say we'll probably partake in a pint or two in the afternoon, so I'll have to hold court and Block can have a bit of a rest and then he'll come good at night time.
But, mate, you do like the new me, like not that the raging 20 schooner when we used to get on the drink in our late 20s, early 30s. Now, Ciro says to me now, where's me mate gone? Like, I'm a bit of a teetotaler now.
Do you drink at all, Block?
I might have a couple. I have a shandy. He gets real embarrassed if we're having a beer together and he goes to the bar and goes, oh, give us a schooner of new and and he always points over to me as a shandy for that.
Doesn't want to own it.
Hey, Paulo, just quickly, mate, the races you've been at, mate, tell us a little bit about that up there in Darwin. How was it?
I was just, mate, fantastic. We kind of incorporated a couple of things with the family and went up to the Darwin Cup. So, mate, what a great little carnival too! I bumped into plenty of people from all parts of the East Coast, and our old teammate Gary Freeman was up there on another junket.
Oh, the Whiz!
The Whiz, yeah. But my great day of racing at Darwin, very warm too this time of the year, but beautiful. My 30-odd degrees every day. A game or two of golf, a little bit of fishing. Went to the races on the Monday, and unfortunately we had a pretty good multi going into the Darwin Cup, and we tossed up between two horses, as you normally do, mate. Everyone's got a story like that. We went with the favourite or a thing called playoffs, and unfortunately playoffs won at about $4.50, and it cost us plenty. But anyway, it's only money, mate. Go to the ATM, get some more out.
Yeah, mate, you would have been like a little bit upset being in that sweaty tents and that. Were you in the tents or in the corporate area in the boxes with the air conditioning? Why should I ask?
Yeah, there's a little place. It's called Silk's Restaurant. I don't know if the boys on the panel have been up there before, but it's a nice little spot. It's not quite on the finish line. It's sort of at the 200 or 300 meter mark on the Darwin track. So you've got to, everyone watches races live, and we run over to screens to see the last 200 meters down the straight. But air conditioned, and that was part of the I mean, everyone in the group put their hands up and said, look, we're happy to pay a bit more, few more dollars, but we need to be in aircon and nice area. And I spoke to a couple of friends who were on the in the marquees, you know, sort of on the winning post, and they said it was fairly warm inside those marquees. Everyone drinking in the sun. So there's a couple of messy people as they tend to be at the races from time to time.
Cyril, let's talk some footy. The big story of the week, or one of the big stories of the week, has been the David Clemmer situation up there at Newcastle. I want to ask you, how many times have you abused someone when you've been pulled off the field in your playing days?
I didn't tend to get too upset. I'd probably put me in and say, well, I'm a rest, I'm a break. But your co-panelist there could abuse.
We've heard.
Yeah, so... There's a few more things going on up there at Newcastle. You know, Big Clem spraying Hayden Knowles, mate. But there's certainly some issues, mate. It doesn't seem like it's a real happy camp at the moment, mate. Whereas, you know, I mean, you get a couple of wins or a close win by, we should have beaten the Cowboys, the Tigers, and then into a good win against the Broncos, and everyone's sort of bouncing around at training and looking forward to playing the Knights on Sunday, but. If you're a Tigers fan, you know this is a danger game for us because off the back of a couple of really good performances, you know, that they have in recent years, you know, put in a stinker from time to time, and this is a real danger game. So just to get away from that bottom of the table, get well clear of that, it'd be nice to have a win over the Knights and finish your season on a positive.
Now, Big Ciro is a very humble person, right? Now, a lot of people would wash over. Only two forwards ever to go on three Kangaroo tours. Ciro's one of them. Mate, give us some memories from the Kangaroos and what was so special about it when, you know, and what are these guys missing out on now not going on those three-month tours?
You're very kind, Stephen, but there was actually only four blokes did three tours, but and I was fortunate enough that Bozo did like me and dragged me along to that last one in 94, but, World Cup trips, touring sides, be it any sport, I mean, Bob, but the sense of excitement when you're about to go is, if you get a group of blokes going away, you tend to get excited. But when you're going away on a sporting trip, you know, like a Kangaroo tour, and they were fabulous, mate. I guess more in later years, unfortunately, we've lost those big tours, and you know, the game's changed now that we won't see that again. But even the abbreviated tours of 3 weeks are good fun, you know, particularly, you know, I mean, the guys who are playing in the game in between the, you know, the test matches and whatnot. But, and even for a supporters tour too, you know, and I'll go back on our trip too, Blocky. It's one of those bucket list things you've got to do at some stage. So if there's listeners out there and you toss out whether to go over and experience, you know, rugby league in England and the north of England, you know, and a World Cup tour, and hopefully Australia will be involved in those last few games that we're there for, the semis and the finals. It's something you've got to do in your lifetime. So, the atmosphere, just all the bits that go along with it. It's fantastic.
Ciro, tell us about how hostile the old Wembley Stadium was, because, you know, we lost there in 90 and 94. You won a World Cup final there in 92. I think it was 10-6. So clearly it was a ground that, I guess, Great Britain really grew another leg at. Tell us what it was like playing in that environment in particular.
Oh, look, yeah. The old Wembley walk they used to do with both sides used to walk out together with the managers or the coaches up front too, and just a walk out there too. And I recall, it's funny, I grew up at school, and I don't know if you blokes are old enough, but we used to sing, you know, God Save the Queen. That was the national anthem when I was at primary school in the 70s, and you remember that, Block, I think you were in high school then, so.
Yeah, it was the best 5 years of my life, year 10.
Exactly right, year 6 was. But yeah, look, just having both, anthems too, just having God Save the Queen and you know, with the Men's Australia Fair, it was just fabulous, and just the sense of pride and excitement too. It's just incredible, and unfortunately, we both times, you know, I mean, I'm not going to, like I said, we probably didn't play well enough, but you know, I think in 1990 block, you know, I think we were penalised about 19-3 or something or other.
French referee, wasn't it?
Yeah. Alan Rascagne or something his name was, but he, mate, he served it up to us for sure. And to Pop's credit, they scored a couple of long range tries, and our old teammate Ellery Hanley sort of served it up to us too in that 90 game. But yeah, 94 too. You know, we again didn't play well enough. You know, we're probably our preparation wasn't ideal. And you know, to the Pom's credit, it sets up the series for a really good. You know, if you lose game one, well, then you're desperate to win the next two tests. But look, World Cups are, you know, you get all the pool games and then you go into your semi-finals and the final too, and it's quite interesting now with all players are pledging their allegiance to their family heritage now. Josh Papali'i, I think he's going with Samoa now. So it'll be, there'll be some guys in the Australian squad who probably thought they weren't going to pull on a green and gold jersey at some stage. That will certainly get a start, so it'll be quite exciting for them.
Sarah, the West Tigers, and we both follow them. It's been a tough last decade. Mate, can you see any light at the end of the tunnel? Can you see him coming good? Will Sheensy do the job that everyone's expecting him to do?
Well, like, as you know, mate, I work there, mate. So I've been there the last 10 years in the pathways. You know, I do the pathway stuff with Balmain. So, look, it's been frustrating just to sit on the sidelines and see what's happened. But there might be a little bit more short term pain with next year with how our salary cap is, without sort of going into too much detail. But I think the arrival of Appy Coruscant and and Elijah Papali'i from Para will be a couple of good things. And these young guys now, if they start winning some games, they'll get a sense of what it takes to win games and that great feeling of winning games. So look, I think we can certainly turn the corner, mate. We finish the season on a bright note. And, you know, I see a guy like Adam Dewey, who's been really good the last couple of weeks, mate. I see him being a long term leader for the club, and you know, a guy he's a local junior from Balmain, and he's a kid that we need to keep on the field too. You know, you can just see the change in the side once he's come back from injury and, you know, off the back of that knee reconstruction, mate. So fingers crossed he can stay healthy. Adam, and he's a good leader, and he's a passionate player too, mate. So fingers crossed that there's blue sky ahead for the Tigers.
Well, Ciro, we've loved talking to you this morning. By the way, we've got a text here. Can we get a plug for the Southern Spirit Cricket Club Sportsman Lunch? Guest speakers, Ciro, Mal Johnson, David Hall. Friday, 16th September. Old mate from Umina sending that one through. Hope you know about that lunch, Ciro, but apparently you're a guest speaker. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, and keep this bloke in check in that World Cup tour.
I'd just like to say to you, with that sportsman luncheon, Paul, ching ching.
No.
He loves to collect, my man.
For the love of sport.
Yes.
Well, mate, you're doing a wonderful job filling in there. You better be careful, Michael Clark and Laurie. I think there could be a position off the bench for you at some stage.
Thank you.
Good on you, Ciro. Thanks so much.
See you, boys.
See you, mate.
The great Paul Sheridan there. Now, just some racing news. Scone is off today. Track deem unsuitable for racing. Scone off. And for Brad and his crew that called us yesterday, who were making the long trip out to Louth, it was called off yesterday. That meeting for tomorrow called off as well. I saw some pictures of the track and the surrounds there. Virtually underwater out there in Louth. 34-16, the Roosters over the Brisbane Broncos last night in the NRL at the SCG. It was 18-0 after 15 minutes in the netball at the Commonwealth Games. Australia, would you believe, lost to Jamaica for the first time ever.
Wow.
57-55. They led by 6 goals, the Diamonds as well, leading into the final quarter. And as I think it was Kath Cox, friend of the show, said, just shut up shop in the final quarter and got beat. So they're going to have a big game anyway in the semi-finals against either England or New Zealand. Both very tough opponents. Probably England. The winner of that game is who will play in a big semi-final over there at the Comm Games. We've got Blocker in the chair this morning and Adam Pengilly as well. And a story broken late last night by James Hooper at Fox in regards to Josh Reynolds being linked to the Bulldogs, fellas. We've had a couple of texts on this, so it's not set in stone yet, but being linked for a year at the Dogs next year in their squad. Now, I spoke to Josh last night, who's very much on holidays, and good on him, over in Europe there. He's got his mum with him at the moment. And, look, he said he doesn't know where it's come from, that, you know, obviously loves the Dogs. Absolutely loves the Dogs, and he's just enjoying his holiday now and hopes to get something sorted when he comes back and is able to sit down face-to-face in front of people.
Well, you got to understand that, you know, these guys, they're proud of what they do. He would not want to finish the way that his career has finished over there in Hull.
Mm.
He'd want to
and
come
the Tigers
back
as well, Blockers.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
The back end of his career at the Tigers in the NRL. Yeah.
So he'd want to finish. Oh, mate, I reckon it'd be a great ploy for Canterbury to get him there. Not just to be around the joint and his experience. And, mate, the way he is too, he's got that like enthusiasm, and you can, you know, he's the sort of bloke you want to be around. So he's a tremendous fella. I've heard him on the Big Sports Breakfast doing his report.
Mate, we love him.
Mate, he's very good. He's got, mate, and he loves the races and all that, so... Mate, maybe I'll get the flick when he comes back. No, it's all right. It's all right, mate. I've had a good run. I mean, this is unbelievable doing this, but, you know, Joshy, I wouldn't mind moving over for him if it happens.
No, he's a champion.
He's a good bloke.
And hopefully I'd love to see him back in the NRL, particularly.
Well, finish your career the way you want to finish it.
And you just love those guys who, you know, you think Josh Reynolds, you think Bulldogs. Even though he went to the Tigers, he's a Bulldog.
Yep.
Mm. Love to see it. Now, shortly, I'm going to speak. I spoke earlier this week, Adam, to Dimitar Berbatov over at the Black Sea. He was did a little Zoom interview. Manchester United great, and
what's he doing
did
in
a
the
full
Black Sea?
Premier. Well, he's Bulgarian, so I'm guessing he was at one of his, I don't know, holiday houses or something.
Sailing with Clarky somewhere in the Mediterranean or something like that.
Yeah. So, how do you feel about Manchester United this year,
Jared? I have never been more despondent at the start of an EPL season as I am this week, because I think we are absolutely no chance of even getting close to top four. I think at best we'll finish fifth or maybe sixth. And I hate to say it, but it's a sad decline for a lifelong Manchester United fan. And you even just saw last week, Jared, the friendly game they played against Rayo Vallecano, and Cristiano Ronaldo and a number of players actually left the stadium before full time.
Well, there's a question I got for you guys. In sport, when there's two teams going at it, what's a friendly?
Well,
how can you?
Yeah, it's a terrible.
Honestly,
term,
it's a, mate, it's terrible. Mm. Do you get it? Do they get caps for that if they play in
yes,
a friendly against
do.
another
in,
nation?
Yeah, in
internationals.
Yes,
internationals.
They do.
So they get a cap for it, but you're playing in a friendly.
Yeah, it's
what do you do? Promise before the game, I'm not going to hack anyone, or
just think it's another word for test match. They don't
it's a
call
word,
it that.
It's a
they call
bad
it friendly
word.
International.
It's a bad,
when it's
a bad
obviously
word.
It is a bad
countries.
Word. Yeah, but back to your point, Jared. I think Manchester United are going to struggle. As much as it hates me, I hate to say it. I think Erik ten Hag might be a good manager. He can have at least 2 or 3 years to try and turn this club around. And unfortunately, I think the title will be fought out by your boys in Manchester City again.
Bring it on. So that's coming up shortly. By the way, the full interview with Berbatov's available on the podcast. Just search for Big Sports Breakfast wherever you get your podcasts. We spoke about a lot of different clubs. How we ended up at United from Tottenham because Man City threw their hat in the ring as well, spoke about that, and it was great to speak to him. So that's available on the podcast. We're going to play a snippet shortly. Now, just before that, the Sticky Wings Big Sports Breakfast Multi is open. It's on the Tab app, the Tab website, under Sport and Today's Offers. And these great gents next to me have got their heads together and they've come up with a three-leg multi. Two Legs Racing, courtesy of you, Adam. What have you got?
Royal Randwick, Jared. Race 5, number 2, Equation, to finish top 4. And in the very next race, race 6 at Randwick tomorrow, race number 1, Mautai to place. So that's Equation to run top 4 and Mautai just to run a drum for us.
And Block, what have you got for us?
And a sellout down there at Canberra. The Canberra Raiders to beat the Panthers. All that's paying $9. That's not a bad return, is it?
$9.
The Premier League is backed, and we're joined by a Premier League legend, a two-time winner and Golden Boot winner, Dimitar Berbatov. Dimitar, before we go into the season, firstly, can you tell us how you ended up at Manchester United from Tottenham? Because you were very close to joining Manchester City, weren't you?
Well, obviously, this is the story that is going around, which is actually true. But my heart and my everything that I wanted was to go to United. For me, that was the team with the history, with the red shirt, you know, with the badge, obviously with the manager and all the players and the titles they won. And at that time, I wanted to win titles as well. And the choice was pretty simple. You go to United and nowhere else. And the moment when my agent told me actually that City are interested, you know, I was just, I'm not going to curse here, but, you know, I have something that I wanted to say. And I said it to him and I said, basically, we go to United and that's that, you know, because this was my, this was a mountain top. This was my peak. After hard work and step by step, I was able to climb my mountain and reach my personal top.
And it worked out very well indeed. And some of those names, Sir Alex Ferguson, Cristiano Ronaldo, playing at Old Trafford. I mean, what was it like to play for Manchester United at that time?
Well, let me tell you something. It was intimidating at first. I can speak to myself, of course, because when you go into the dressing room full of champions, you're like, whoa, you know, like you see Giggs, Coles, you know, Rio, Ronaldo, Rooney, you know, all these great players who are champions. And you are not, in my case, I was still not. But here's the thing. When you go to the place like this and you want to learn and you want to upgrade and get better, you will. And in the process, I learned a lot of things and obviously how to become a champion when I was surrounded with champions. And it was very special because to train with players like this and then go out at Old Trafford to perform, it was a dream come true for me. That's why I said this was my mountain top for myself. And I'm pretty damn proud because I'm coming from a small country and everything I did makes me proud.
Dimitar, so much speculation around Ronaldo's future. Do you think it's better for the club if now perhaps it's time for him to move elsewhere or should he stay at Old Trafford?
Well, now, this is a delicate situation. And I, in my opinion, in modern football, there are two players that, in my case, and in a football language, they can do whatever they want. So it's Messi and Ronaldo. Because of everything they achieve in football, you know, all the greatness they put on themselves while playing football, all the trophies and the goals and pretty much everything. And you always need to treat them with respect. Always need to treat them with respect. It doesn't matter what happens because they gave so much to football. They changed the game of football. And when he's coming now to Ronaldo United, that's why I say it's a delicate situation because he needs all the respect in the world that he can get based on what he's done. And I'm pretty sure that they will handle it with respect and with thinking how they can use him well. I think he should stay to answer your question because he can bring goals. I hope that Ten Hag can speak with him face to face, like man to man, explain what he will expect from him in the season. And if Ronaldo is okay with it, and I hope he is, then I will be happy to stay because he can play a big role in United, as I said, because he brings goals. Yes, you get old along the way, but in the case of Ronaldo, who is taking care of himself so good, I think he can bring goals for sure.
Realistically, where do you think they will finish this season?
Well, I just told you that I always hope for a miracle in football. And I always like to see United up there in the top in the Premier League. And basically, top one will be nice. But we need to be realistic. And probably all the pundits I hear talking about that the first season is really difficult. And it's always difficult when you come to a new club. And as a manager as well. So I hope to see them as close to the top as possible this season. They have a lot of work to do to catch up to City and Liverpool, obviously, who play a great, great, great football. And it's a challenge, but you don't run away from the challenge. You run towards that challenge.
Let's talk about one of your previous sides as well in Tottenham. And after securing Champions League football, they've strengthened their squad this summer. Richarlison, Bissouma, Perisic coming as well. Are they genuine title challengers or do they still have a way to go, Dimitar?
Well, the names you mentioned and all the players who are still in the club with that coach, on paper, this sounds like a title challenge team to me. I mean, really, really great players and good players and a great coach. So with Spurs, it's always start the season with high hopes and everybody is cheering for them. except Arsenal probably. But, you know, everybody wants them to win something. And it's been a long, long time. I was still there, 2008, when we won the last trophy for the club. So it's about time for them to win something. And I always start with the high hopes for them in the beginning of the season because they have a great squad now as well. So I would like to see them do well as well. And why not to be the dark horse of the Premier League? Like, be there and challenge everybody else and make them on your toes. And in the end, just surprise everybody and go and do something like Leicester done back in the days, you know. So I wish them luck. They need a trophy, any trophy, in my opinion.
Pep Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp, they've revolutionised football in England. Where do they rank, Dimitar, in your opinion, among the greatest Premier League managers when you think of the likes of Jose Mourinho, also Arsene Wenger, and of course Sir Alex Ferguson?
Well, they are all behind Sir Alex Ferguson at the moment, to be honest, because in the end of the day, you need the trophies to prove and say, this is what I've done. So they are along the way and trying probably to to try to catch to him. You need to have something like this to pull yourself and challenge yourself and say, I want to achieve this as a manager. I want to challenge Sir Alex for the titles, for the wins, for everything. But Guardiola, Klopp, I mean, they're among there already. Mentioning their names is completely worth it, because this is the guys who changed football in the Premier League and brought a new style of play, new ideas, fresh look on everything. And you can only learn from coaches like this. And I hope they will continue to surprise us when we watch football and see how they shift the teams when they play, how change the system while they play, or change some of the players that we think we know so well where they can play, but all of a sudden they change and they put them on a different position because they can see that they can do great there, even though the players cannot see it yet, but they can see that he can do better even there. And these are the coaches that, how do you say that, that are ahead of the time and just know and sense how football should be played. And that's why I love watching their teams, to be honest. I've been rivals with their teams, but respect, you need to give respect where respect is due. And it's always great to watch their teams.
So if you look at the top six, how will it finish in order?
Oh, my God. You're putting me on the spot here with that question. Well, it's always difficult to... Trust me, it's always difficult to be... sincere and honest when you used to play for the teams in the Premier League. And that's why I say I want my former teams, United and Spurs, to do so well and maybe be one or two in the Premier League. But right now, at this moment, I must say that obviously City and Liverpool are there on the first or the second place. Don't know which one, because in my eyes, they are equal as the teams and the coaches as well. So they'll be there, one or first or second place. And then hopefully United can build on that, bringing Ten Hag into the team and go and be in the top four together with Spurs. But third or four, and then Chelsea, Arsenal. You know, this is the usual suspect there you need to put there. But I hope that some of the teams can surprise us and also be in the mix.
Dimitar, West Ham was strong last year. Newcastle have new owners and some signings as well. Villa certainly improved under Steven Gerrard. Palace were better under Vieira. Leicester are always a threat. Who do you think could shock this year and potentially challenge for a top four spot out of those sort of middle of the road clubs?
Yeah, and that's why I said that some of these teams who are normally exactly middle of the table teams can try to challenge themselves first and foremost. Challenge yourself and say, all right, this year we want to be high in the table. This is going to make the Premier League even more exciting. It's going to put more heat on the big teams. And Newcastle are a big team as well. Newcastle is an unbelievable team. And they have a new owners. They spend money. They have a good coach, in my opinion, as well. So I would like to see them to go up there and challenge everybody else, because this team has been a long way since their performances have been satisfying for everybody and be up there close to top four, you know. And I remember watching them so much when Shearer was there, you know, a big admirer of Shearer, and he was unbelievable with Newcastle. And when you go to play there, the fans are unbelievable, you know, and the stadium and everything is just pure football. So I would like to see them finally getting out of their shell and just get close to that top four place.
For all these texts saying that I wasn't in the bathroom while doing that interview.
Where did you do it from?
I was doing it from home.
It was in the shower. It was in the home. David Gower.
So I was at home in my place in the northern beaches of Sydney, and Dimitar was on the Black Sea. So you couldn't get, you know, two more varying locations, I suppose. But apologies, we did our best. Anyway, here we go. Something to get your chops ready to eat something. Deliciously flaky pastry on top, a bottom which is rolled extra thin, a filling of 100% lean Aussie beef. Talking about Garlo's pies, the only pies you should be putting on your plate. Garlo's pies are simply bursting with flavour, and there's heaps of flavours to choose from. And here's a thought. Take a night off from cooking. Grab a Garlo's family pie for the whole crew. They're available in all Coles and Woolworths stores. Remember, we're located in the chilled meals section. If you can't find us, ask for Garlo's pies by name. Garlo's pies, they're thin on pastry. They are big on meat. Brad Davidson, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, guys. How are we?
Very well on a Friday. Now, alligator blood's been banned from racing in Victoria. What's the story here?
Yeah, that's correct, guys. That was the news there yesterday. Of course, the two-time Group 1 winner, Racing Victoria stewards concluded an inquiry into the ownership interests of the registered owner, Alan Andreas, who has a majority share there, of course, and finding that Andreas is not permitted to hold an ownership or lease interest in a horse if the person is an undischarged bankrupt. So, obviously, the horse has, I think, previously been banned in New South Wales. So, not able to take part in the Victorian Spring Carnival, I believe. Alan Andreas was making mention on social media that he's likely to contest that. So we'll see how it all pans out. But that was the news out of Victoria yesterday.
Dave, we're finally had some good weather in Sydney this week. A little bit of rain around yesterday. How are you expecting this track to play tomorrow at Randwick?
Yeah, hopefully not too bad. I'm waiting for that track update this morning. But having a look at the sort of results of the weather overnight in the area, according to a couple of the sources on the internet, suggesting that Randwick might have missed a lot of it, saying that probably only 0.8 of a mil in the region. So fingers crossed, because they got a heap of rain at Scone. Of course, that meeting's off today, and I think they got a bit of rain in Newcastle as well ahead of their return to racing on Saturday. So look, fingers crossed we get that update through in the next little bit, and hopefully Randwick missed the majority of it, because it'd be handy to get back onto a genuine soft and working towards a good track there. It seems to be drying well enough for Randwick, better than the likes of Canterbury, which didn't improve much there on Wednesday. But I think they're back to about a soft six there at Randwick yesterday. So fingers crossed that it missed the bulk of it last night.
What do you make of the Missile Stakes field?
Yeah, it's a good field, isn't it? I always find these group races a bit tricky. The start of the carnivals, because you've got all these horses resuming. There's some that are going to return a bit more improved than others. But saying that, we are dealing with a field that, you know, pretty well exposed. I'm probably leaning towards Bellucci Bay, to be honest, at this stage. Just the better odds over Forbidden Love. I think they're both going to be very hard to beat. And probably the track pattern's going to play a fair way in that one drawn low, Bellucci Bay, one drawn wide in Forbidden Love. But look, I'll go with Bellucci Bay, but I think she took good strides last preparation. Against the likes of Nature Strip, she stepped up to the A grade and performed really well. So I think she can definitely run well fresh, but Forbidden Love, no doubt the class. And we saw how good she was last preparation. I'm sure she'll be right in the finish fresh up.
And we saw Hozier win the Coffs Cup yesterday, Damo.
Yeah, strong performance, wasn't it, Adam? Looked to be probably struggling a touch at the 400, but really strong over the concluding stages to, of course, get that eligibility now for the big dance later this year. So all these horses qualifying and no doubt adding to the strength of those country cups. And we saw that strong field there yesterday for the Coffs Cup.
Okay, give us your best bets tomorrow at Randwick.
Yeah, I've gone with race 7, number 6, the best in the Premier's Cup prelude, Lord Ardmore. I think he's a very progressive horse. I loved his win last time out. He's only third up there tomorrow. And I think he strikes a very winnable race once again, getting in with a very winnable weight as well. Value for me, race 3, number 5, Maricopa. Just loves ran with this horse and loves the staying trip. So I think getting back to Randwick again is going to really suit this galloper. was okay at Warwick Farm last time out, but all the Randwick form stands out for mine, and on ratings, I'd have to have it close to favourite. So I think the $7.50 does appeal there as well, guys.
Okay, so that best race 7, number 6, Lord Ardmore, Davo's best, $3.10 with tap. Value were race 3, number 5, Maricopa, $7.50 with tab. And in the Sticky Wings multi, Adam's chucked in Equation, race 5, number 2 to run top 4, and race 6, number 1, Mao Tai to place. Can you give him some strength there, Davo?
Yeah, absolutely. Adam doesn't need any strength. He's a terrific judge, and he does a great job with all his tipping. He's been on fire lately as well, looking at some of his stats on the on some of the racing publications. But I don't mind the shopping wide there with Equation. He comes back as a gelding, and you know, he runs up to 2 preparations at Gochi. It'd be hard to beat in a race like that. And Mao Tai, obviously, that gelding operation. Looked good at the trials, didn't he, Adam? I like the way he relaxed. And it'd be interesting to see which way they ride in there. They ride him with a bit of a sit there. So whether they'll do that on race day or let him sort of roll as he normally does.
Yeah, quick chat to Casey Fogden yesterday, Dave. They're going to ride him with a sit, I think. That's the plan, this preparation. And I think Huey will try and get the box seat if they possibly can. Now, before we let you go, question of the morning. Potato cakes or potato scallops?
Potato cakes or...
What's the right scallops. What's the right name for
scallops.
Them?
Scallops. He's in New South Wales.
Good no, man. He's from WA, Dave. So, yeah, you never know what's going to come out from the west.
Oh, we're different with everything, aren't we? Really, yeah. But I'll go with scallops. Yeah, that's what. If I'm going there, I never have them, but my wife does. So if I'm ordering at the fish and chip shop, I always say scallops. Yeah, there you go.
Good.
Well, now Brad was talking the tips up there from Adam. Adam, you don't talk yourself up that much. I was talking to you in the break, and I asked you how you were going in your punting because I'm not a punter. And I asked you how you were going, and you really talked it down.
I said the last couple of months have been hard blocks.
Now then Brad comes on and he talks you up. So mate, which one is it?
Punting and tipping's
a different story.
Different story.
Mm. What, are you got to put your hard earn on?
Well, you know, they're required to give tips.
Right.
But whether then they actually go and punt on them, like, is it your own discretion?
Well,
obviously.
Don't you believe in what you're saying? If you believe in what you're saying, you should put
that
some
week
of your,
you might have had 16 bills to pay.
Of course I do. And Dave might back me up here, but I always find block June and July are the toughest punting months of the year. I really find it hard to try and turn a profit.
Because you bet on
just
the footy.
We're working with different tracks, you know, different horses, different pool of horses. Mm. We have a lot of jockey changes. Jockeys going here, there, and everywhere around that June and July months. And I generally find this the hardest time of year. But I do like that sort of late August, early September, the start of the carnival. You try and catch a few markets with a bit of an edge. Some horses coming back to the races will trial nicely. So, yeah, looking forward to cranking it up again in the next few weeks.
Looks like you're winning.
I generally find wet tracks make it a bit harder as well. I always like betting on dry tracks. So looking forward to that run. But in Adam's defence there, when you're tipping in and, you know, the newspapers and things like that, you've got to provide tips for every race. So often you'll have sort of a few bets every day, and sometimes you back the wrong ones, you tip other winners and then back the wrong ones as well. It can happen like that, unfortunately.
So can the punters that you tip to, Adam, in your writing in the columns, do they have any... Like, can they get back at you in any way?
You should see my email. You should see the text line on here sometimes, probably.
Oh, what's the worst thing? What's the worst thing that someone said to you?
Nothing too nasty.
No,
nothing too nasty. But they just question your ability, which is probably fair enough.
Davo, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.